Thank you for being here again this afternoon and coming back for another hour of worship and study. And I invite you to be opening your Bibles to the book of Psalms in chapter 103. And we'll be studying from there just briefly this evening. I'd like to welcome visitors that we might have here tonight and let you know that we are open to any questions that you might have about us. And just, you know, want to make sure that we are studying the Bible and trying to stick to God's Word and just do what He says and try and be His people as He's prescribed us to be. And that's what we are trying to do as a group of people collectively in this place. And remember, each of us needs to remember that it's always and only God's Word that we need to look to for our instruction, both collectively and individually, as we try to live our lives. And as I stand before you and try and expound upon God's Word, that's all I'm trying to do is to relay what God has said in a way that is easy to understand and applicable in our lives. And always look at those words as you study and follow along in your own Bibles and make sure that what I'm saying is indeed the truth from God's Word. God is awesome. God is so great, isn't He? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. He has blessed us richly, so far beyond our imagination, so far beyond anything that we could ever imagine or deserve. And we rejoice in the fact each and every day that He grants us new opportunities to live and to breathe and to worship and serve Him. And we rejoice in His marvelous plan of salvation. We rejoice in His very character. And that's what David did here in Psalm 103. This is one of more than 70 Psalms that has been attributed its authorship to David. And as we've discussed before, there are several different types of psalms in this book. Psalms of petition, psalms of confession, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of imprecatory judgment. And some of them, like Psalm 103, simply focus on just praising and lauding God. There's not a single petition or request made of God in this psalm. That's something that's amazing to me, because it seems like we can't hardly get out of a prayer without asking God for something. Sometimes He just needs and deserves our praise. This whole psalm is about God. And I want you to read it with me as we begin our study tonight. Psalm 103 of David. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who forgives and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. So bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And so it ends the same way that it begins. Tonight we want to rejoice in God's character here along with David as he extols and blesses the Lord from within his soul. And I want us to remember that rejoicing in God's character begins here with blessing God in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. His name, the Lord, Jehovah God, the only Creator, the I Am, the one that has been from beginning to end, from before to after, that has no beginning and has no end. The Holy One, the one who is sanctified, set apart, different, higher than anyone or anything else. We bless that God. To bless means to give all praise, honor, and glory to Him. To call Him holy. To look favorably upon Him. To express or feel gratitude towards Him. To thank Him. To worship Him. To speak well of Him because of His abundant generosity. We need to take every opportunity that we have, as we are doing here tonight, to tell God just how awesome He is. And do we do that for Him, for His sake? Does He need us to tell Him how awesome He is? No. But He certainly deserves it. And we certainly need to remind ourselves of that very fact, so that we might be better servants of Him. So bless the Lord, O my soul. And He goes on to say, with all that is within me, bless His holy name. So when I think about this concept of blessing God with all that is within me, it's not something that can be done half-heartedly. This is not something that I can just put my pinky toe into it and think that that's enough. I've got to do more than that. I've got to bless God with all that is within me. For David, blessing God involved his whole heart, the depths of his being. He was committed to praising God with all that he had. And he poured out his soul before the Lord. There's one writer that I especially liked, reflecting upon the concept of blessing God with all that is within me, provides an insight into what this means. And he lists 10 different dimensions of this concept, and I want to go over those with you. Number one, he said, you bless God with all that's within you. Number one, the first facet of that is with your lips. The praise that flows forth from your mouth, with the things that we say, the things that we sing, we are praising God, blessing Him with our lips. Number two, with our eyes. We bless God with our eyes, with the things that we see, and we recognize that that is God's creation. We look at that and we bless God. Number three, with our feelings. We bless God with our feelings. When we have the kind of happiness and contentment, gratitude to Him, humility, like we talked about this morning, that we ought to have, that's what's within me, my feelings. My mind, number four, meditating on the things of God. Meditating on His righteousness, studying His words. Number five, pride in the fact that He is our Creator and that we are His children and we are His servants. Number six, I bless Him with all that is within me through the strength that I find in every waking moment, because I know that I only have that because of God. He is the sustainer of my soul. He has given me all things. My strength comes from God and the things that I do in service to Him. I'm a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to Him. I do that with my body. I glorify Him with my body. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, for you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body, Paul writes. So I need to bless Him with my body. I also need to bless Him with my soul. That which is the very core of my being, that which will live on into eternity, the very essence and deepness of who I am, has to bless God. But this even goes as far as to my interests. Number 9, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever my interests are, I need to be doing them to His glory. Blessing Him for giving us the very ability to do that, to do anything. And finally, with my energies. You know, we spend a lot of time and effort on a lot of different things as we go throughout this life. Why not focus more of those energies on Him, on blessing Him, giving Him the praise that He so rightly deserves? The man after God's own heart called upon every part of himself to bless God. And if we are to also be people after God's own heart, as David was, we need to do the same. We need to bless God with all that is within us. And that's not always easy to do. You know, just a few practical thoughts about this. Sometimes we don't want to do it, do we? Sometimes we want to take the easy road out. Sometimes I have to tell myself, I need to praise God. Sometimes, as I said this morning, it's easy for us to just go through the motions sometimes, and we know that it's not always right for us to just go through the motions. But sometimes, when our heart isn't in it, the way to get it back is to make sure that we're still doing those motions, right? You know, we still have to make sure that to get back on track, to get back to where we need to be, we are doing the things that God has told us to do. In order to get my heart back on track, to really give Him all that is within me, I have to make sure that I am praising Him whether I feel like it or not. I have to remind myself that He deserves it. And He deserves the sacrifice of my life and my heart. Sometimes that means I've just got to tell myself to quit being selfish, to quit being lazy, and get up and go do what I know I need to do. Tell myself I need to praise God, because if I'm not, I'm not being the servant, the disciple that I need to be. Sometimes we need to do that even when we're tired. No matter what, even when I'm depressed or angry, I still have to do it. And sometimes I need to be the leader. I need to be the instigator. I can't wait for somebody else to do it. I shouldn't have to wait for someone else to worship God. I shouldn't have to wait until I come into this building to worship God. I can worship God every single day of the week. And I ought to be worshiping God every single day of the week. In every facet of my life, I am blessing and praising God by the way I live my life. If I'm not doing that, if I'm not initiating praise in my own life, I am not living up to what He has called me to be. I need to bless Him, rejoice in His character, and that starts within my soul. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He didn't say, "Bless the Lord, oh, the chief priest's soul." You know, it to translate that to today, "Bless the Lord, oh, my song leader soul. Bless the Lord, oh, my preacher soul. Bless the Lord, oh, my elder soul." That's not what he said. He said, "Bless the Lord, oh, my soul." I can't rely on a proxy. I can't have somebody else doing it for me. "Bless the Lord, oh, my soul." I should have a love and a relationship with God that leads me to bless Him from all that is within me, even when it's hard, even when I don't want to, even when I don't feel like it. Because He is the God of the universe. He is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. My spirituality is between me and Him. And this psalm reminds us of that fact. But it goes on to tell us, He doesn't just leave us there thinking, "Well, why should I bother with that?" Psalmist gives us some really good reasons as to why I should want to bless God. And the first of those that he says very simply is because I need to remember all of His benefits. Psalm 103 and verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And that takes effort sometimes, doesn't it? And we do that, don't we? All too often, I think we forget the benefits of God. We forget the benefits of being in a relationship with God. We forget sometimes what it would be like if we didn't have God. We forget how many sins He has forgiven us of. We forget the debt that He has wiped off the slate. We forget that He is the very sustainer of our being, that He is the only reason we even can wake up in the morning and breathe. He is the reason that we are able to work and support our families. He is the reason that I have children that I love and adore. It is only because of God. And yet, how often does my memory fail me in that department? How often? Now, is your memory perfect? If there was ever a rhetorical question, right? I mean, we've got everything from pregnancy brain to mommy brain on up to senior brain, right? Our memories are not perfect. We forget stuff all the time. We forget stuff even though now we've got these great little phones and you know, we can put our reminders on them and our calendars and everything, and it's all right here in my hand. I'm still going to forget it. Sometimes I need to take advantage of that. It takes effort. sometimes to it's okay. Maybe I need to write that in my reminder. Pray. Read the Bible. Remind myself of what God has done for me in my life. Maybe I need to take time to count my blessings, to make a note or a list of them, to think about them, to meditate on them, to make time in my calendar for Him. Because it is so easy to forget. It is not always apparent. We get very used to things and we just don't think about them. We don't meditate on them enough as we should. Or maybe we're just ungrateful. We often take things for granted. Which means what? To take something for granted, you count on it as being there all the time. You come to expect it being available and you forget that you're lucky to have it. And we fail to appreciate someone or something. You know, what's the saying? You never know what you got till it's gone. We take things for granted. Sometimes we don't show that we're grateful to someone for helping us or happy that they're with us, often because they're just always there. Well, how often does that describe us with God? You know, He's always there. And we just get used to that. Almost to the fact that we forget that it's true. Until something goes wrong and then, well, where was God? He was there. You just need to turn to Him. You need to not take for granted all the benefits that come from being in a relationship with Him. You know, we don't like it when somebody, you know, we do something for somebody else and they don't even tell us thank you. We don't like that very much, do we? How do you make that think it makes God feel when we forget to thank Him? Take it for granted, the things that He's given us. Especially the gift of His only Son. But the psalmist goes on to remind us of specifically what some of those benefits are. And he enumerates several things as he goes through verses 3 through 5. And that's going to be the focus of a large part of the rest of this lesson. Number one, we need to remember that He forgives. He forgives all our iniquities. Chapter 103 and verse 3. The God who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases. This was David's and our greatest need. The need for forgiveness of sins, the healing of diseases. There is nothing that we need more in this life. How often do we take that for granted? Those sins are so many, and God forgives every last one of them. You know, I'm struck with what he says in verse 10 when he says, He does not deal with us according to our sins. How amazing is that? How lucky are we that God does not deal with us according to our sins? If God dealt with us according to our sins, we would all be in a heap of trouble. I mean, think about it. Think about what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Think about what happened to Nadab and Abihu. Down they go. Burned with fire. No second chance. Just death. And we think about that, and we think, man, glad I'm not them. But guess what? That's what we deserve. One sin. And that's what we deserve. And yet God does not deal with this according to our iniquities. He doesn't repay us according to our sins. Instead, verse 11, He shows us unwavering love and compassion to those who fear Him. Verse 11, For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love to those who fear Him. As high as the heavens are above, this is a vast expanse. And not only that, as far as the east is from the west, verse 12, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. You notice here He's going as far as He can up and down and as far as He can left and right. There is no expanse here that the writer is leaving out. That's how far God removes our transgressions from us. Can I just stop here for a second and say, wow! That's amazing! God does not deal with me according to my sins. He removes them as far as you could possibly conceive. They are not there. They are not in existence. They are at opposite ends. They will never touch or have anything to do with us ever again. He is the loving Father. How many of us would not forgive our own children for anything that they did if they came back with open arms and said, "Mom, Dad, I'm sorry"? God is that Father. We are His children. And we come to this place and remember the reason that forgiveness is offered and able to be offered every first day of the week, Matthew 26 and 28. We remember Christ's death. We remember that He offers forgiveness of our trespasses and our sins, Ephesians 1, 7 and Colossians 1, 14. Not only does He not deal with us according to our sins, but He heals us. Psalm 147 and verse 3 also says that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I think that this certainly has a twofold meaning. Number one, God heals us physically. I mean, we all know we need to have faith to believe that when we pray to God for physical healing, that He has the power to do that if it is His will. And let us not take for granted the many answered prayers that we have seen in our lives. But He heals our diseases. There in verse 3. There's a song that I led last week, I think. No, not one. None else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus heals all of our soul's diseases. More importantly than any physical healing we could ever be offered, the real meaning, the higher meaning of this passage is that He removes our spiritual diseases. He removes the sickness of sin. What does a disease do? It weakens. It corrupts. It decays. It taints. God takes that all away. He heals. He makes us whole again. He makes us better. Thirdly, it says there in verse 4 that He preserves. He redeems your life from the pit and He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. When God preserves or redeems us, He buys us back. Again, this is all dealing with sin. And remember David's experiences. If there was ever someone that was struck by his sin, that had a heartfelt remorse, an example for us to how we should feel about sin, it's David. Because when Nathan confronts him and tells him, "You are the man," after he had just pronounced this hypothetical judgment of that man ought to die, and he realizes that man is me, he breaks down. He was convicted. He was pierced to the heart by his sin. He felt it. And he was thankful that God was able to redeem him from the pit, to bring him back. Through the many trials that he experienced in his life, even before he was king, God constantly redeemed his life from the pit. And God also preserves us. He crowns us, it says, with steadfast love and mercy. Why does God do that? Why does He want to do that? Psalm 23 and verse 6 says that He does that so that we can have a home in heaven with Him, so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God buys us back because He is preparing us for eternity. He preserves us for that day. Fourthly, it says in verse 5 that He provides. It says, "He who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." He satisfies us with everything that we could ever possibly need. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 33. Tells us we ought not be anxious about anything. Because God cares for even the smallest of things. How much more does He care for you who is His child? And then Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 7:11 that He only gives good gifts to His children. He doesn't provide us with bad things, but with good. And we should ever be thankful for all of God's provision. And then He renews us. Again, there in verse 5, the latter part of verse 5, it says, "Your youth is renewed like the eagles." And I'm reminded of the verse in Isaiah 40 and verse 31 that says that we will mount up with wings like eagles if we wait on the Lord. And so we are given this spiritual renewal when we rely upon God. Now, when He tells us that we are going to be renewed, does that mean that I'm magically going to be able to just look like I'm 20 when I'm 80? No. It's not what that means. But it means that He can renew the inward part. He can strengthen the soul day by day. With God's constant care and provision, we can be strong like the eagle, an emblem of strength and vitality and endurance. We will have spiritual resolve long into our years if we can remember God, if we can bless Him and remember all of His benefits. And why does He do this? He does it, verse 14, because He remembers that we are but dust. It says there in verse 14, He remembers or He knows our frame. And in other words, the literal meaning there is that He remembers where we came from. He remembers how we were built. Because He was there. He did it. He knows that He formed us out of the dust of the earth and that to the dust we will return. He remembers our frame because He made that frame. He knows how fragile and how short it is. And yet He is that compassionate Father. Verse 13, it says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so Jehovah shows compassion to those who fear Him." The ESV Study Bible says that the Lord remembers the finiteness of the human perspective. Dust is not eternal or omniscient, and thus He is patient with His people. In other words, He remembers who we are. He remembers where we came from. He knows our faults and our weaknesses. And that's why He's so patient with us and blesses us so much. We have to remember, God wants to do good for us. He wants good things for us in our life. But there's a qualifier. It says there, to those who fear Him. We cannot walk about proudly before God like we talked about this morning. God has no desire or need for a servant that puts my own will and desires and commands in front of God's. It doesn't work that way. To be His child, I have to fear Him. But for those who do that, God is merciful and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Again, this relates so well to what we talked about this morning. God wants us to do what? From Micah 6:8, He wants us to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Those are the characteristics of God. He wants us to be like Him. And so, if He expects us to do justice, to love mercy, that's only because He first exemplified justice and mercy and abounding grace and abounding steadfast love. And of course, Jesus, the example of all humility. He is that merciful, loving, just, perfect Father that, yes, ought to be feared, loved, obeyed. And so what do we do? What do we do in response to all of this? Well, number one, the psalmist David's answer is, well, like we said, bless Him. Verses 20 through 22, he ends the psalm by saying, "Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word." So we bless Him, we speak well of Him, and not only that, but we obey Him. The condition, again, of all His benefits is obedience and fear of Him. Again, also verse 13, but verse 17 as well. "The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children." Now again, now does this mean that I cower in fear before God of Him going to smite me like He did Ananias' fire? No, that's not what that means. But to fear God means that I recognize His power and His authority in my life, and I submit to it. I'm humble and obedient before Him because He's the Father. He has the authority. And He has the power of life and death. And so I obey Him. I obey Him because I want to get those benefits. The benefits of being a child, an heir of grace. And then I go about daily, walking, doing His will. Again, verse 21, he talks about these ministers, these angels who do His will. Again, I can't just do whatever I want. I can't just be a good person, but I have to do His will. And His will is proclaiming His name. His will is seeking justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with Him. And I do that every day and in every place. Verse 22, "Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, again, when it says there, "in all places of His dominion," well, that's all places. God's dominion is everywhere. So in everything that I do, I bless Him, I obey Him, I do His will everywhere that I go. And so let us rejoice in His character this evening. Let us rejoice in the fact that we are children of a loving Father who is awesome, who created the heavens and the earth, who created my very body and designed it with amazing intricacy. Let me bless the Lord who does not deal with me according to my sins, but forgives, heals, preserves, provides, and renews. How God greatly blesses the Christian. Are you here tonight and maybe you haven't been walking daily with Him, humbly by His side? Maybe you haven't been good about remembering all the benefits that God provides. Maybe you've taken some of those things for granted and haven't been living as you ought to live. We can pray for you and help you with that tonight. Or maybe there's someone here who has never put on Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of their sins in order to enter into His grace and covenant relationship with Him. If there's anyone here that needs to respond to the gospel, won't you do this so now while we stand and sing?